Today's episode is brought to you by the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts. Hey everyone, it's Melissa. Today we're discussing some recent legislative changes that were signed into law by our Texas governor. I have Julio from Tax Policy as my guest. Thank you, Julio, for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
So our 86th legislative session just ended, and there were some major changes that occurred. Specifically, I want to talk about House Bill 1525, which addresses responsibilities for marketplace providers and marketplace sellers. Julio, does this new law impose a new tax on internet sales?
No, this law does not impose new taxes. This new law addresses tax collection.
What initiated these changes to come about?
These changes were in response to the South Dakota versus Wayfair case, which is a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision. The Wayfair ruling overruled the Quill decision from 1992.
Okay, refresh my memory. What was the Quill decision?
Well, it's basically something a porcupine would have. Just kidding. Quill is a U.S. Supreme Court decision that addressed out-of-state sellers and use tax. Simply stated, for a state to require an out-of-state seller to collect use tax, when the seller's only connection is through the mail or by common carrier, like UPS, the seller must have a physical presence in that state. An example of a physical presence includes the presence of employees or inventory in that state, or owning property in that state. Under Quill, if the seller did not have a physical presence, the state lacked authority to require the out-of-state seller to collect use tax.
So did the South Dakota versus Wayfair decision do away with physical presence being a sufficient reason for a state to require an out-of-state seller to collect?
No. Physical presence is still a sufficient basis to require an out-of-state seller to collect tax. You know, the way states have looked at it is you have the physical presence layer, and now adding to that is the economic nexus layer, which is the South Dakota versus Wayfair decision.
What do you mean by economic nexus?
Well, economic nexus is your connection with a state, which determines your tax responsibilities. This connection is measured by your economic activity in that state. For example, if an out-of-state seller has a certain amount of economic activity in a state, the state will require you to collect use tax.
Now, does every state have the same requirements or threshold for economic activity?
Actually, no. Every state sets their own threshold. Some states have dollar amounts and transaction limits.
It sounds like businesses who sell into other states need to check with each state for their tax responsibilities and threshold, since every state is different. Is that right?
Yes. Now for Texas, we have already amended our Rule 3.286, Sellers and Purchasers Responsibilities, and this took effect January 1st, 2019. Texas has adopted a safe harbor, where if someone sells less than $500,000 in total Texas sales, then they are not required to collect use tax. Now keep in mind, unlike other states, Texas does not have a limit on transactions. On the flip side of that, if you are above the $500,000 safe harbor, you are required to collect, remit, and report Texas use tax.
When you say $500,000 in total Texas revenue, is this only for sales that are subject to sales and use tax? What if a person sells both taxable and non-taxable sales?
We are talking about everything, a business's gross revenue, which can include taxable and non-taxable sales.
Julio, how does this affect small out-of-state businesses that are under the safe harbor?
If an out-of-state business has determined that their total Texas revenue from sales into Texas does not exceed $500,000 and they are not otherwise engaged in business in Texas, then they are not required to get a permit or collect and remit tax on sales to their Texas customers. For these types of transactions, their Texas customer is responsible for reporting and paying the applicable use tax directly to the controller's office. Keep in mind that you may, at a later date, exceed the safe harbor amount, in which case, you will be required to get a permit and begin collecting and remitting tax.
Is that something new?
No, this has always been the case. Use tax has always been due, before Quill, after Quill, and now after Wayfair.
That's really good to know, Julio. Now, for the safe harbor of $500,000 that you mentioned, does that apply to Texas businesses?
No, it only applies to a business that is a remote seller.
What exactly is a remote seller?
A remote seller is a seller who is located outside of Texas and who has no physical presence in the state. Their activities in the state are only the remote solicitation of sales. Remote solicitation of sales includes activities such as soliciting sales through catalogs or flyers, radio or television, telephone or online. Texas sellers are not considered remote sellers for Texas sales and use tax. However, a Texas seller could be considered a remote seller in another state.
What do you mean?
For example, let's say an Austin-based business sells their barbecue cookbook online to customers in Texas and out of state. This Austin-based business would not be considered a remote seller in Texas because they have physical presence here. However, because they are selling into other states where they do not have a physical presence, they may be considered a remote seller in those other states. Like I mentioned before, each state has their own threshold amount or transaction limit that they determine for economic nexus. So it's important that the seller checks each state they sell into.
Got it. So is there really any change for Texas sellers?
Well, as we'll discuss later, there will be changes if you are a Texas seller that sells through a marketplace provider. If you sell through a marketplace provider, the marketplace provider will collect Texas sales and use tax beginning October 1 of 2019. You will no longer be required to collect Texas sales and use tax on sales through a marketplace provider.
For Texas sellers, where would someone start if they were looking for other state requirements?
Well, there are a few options. Texas businesses should always check with the specific state tax department in the other state. There are also a number of resources that provide helpful information, such as the Federation of State Tax Administrators, the Multi-State Tax Commission, or the Streamlined Sales Tax Governing Board.
Okay, Julio, when would a remote seller need to apply for a permit to start collecting, reporting, and paying use tax in Texas?
Beginning October 1 of 2019, a remote seller whose total Texas revenue exceeds $500,000 annually must apply for a permit. The first 12-month period is based on July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019. If a seller exceeds $500,000 during the first 12-month period, they must apply for a permit by October 1 of 2019. Keep in mind, Texas will not apply the new law retroactively to remote sellers that have no physical presence in Texas.
Got it. How can a remote seller apply for a Texas sales and use tax permit?
A remote seller located within the U.S. can apply for a free sales tax permit online with our Texas Online Tax Registration application or by mailing in Form AP201, Texas application, or by applying in person in one of our local field offices. Remote sellers can also email the application to sales.applications@cpa.texas.gov or fax the application to 512-936-0010. Remote sellers located outside the United States can register to collect and remit by sending in Form AP201, Texas application.
Now, Julio, does a remote seller's responsibilities change if they sell through a platform?
Actually, yes. If a remote seller sells through a platform or marketplace provider, they are considered a marketplace seller. As a marketplace seller, they are not responsible for collecting and remitting sales and use tax in Texas. Instead, the marketplace provider is actually the seller, and it is required to collect, report, and pay the sales and use tax in Texas.
Can a person be a remote seller, marketplace seller, or marketplace provider at the same time?
Yes. Depending on your activities, you may be a remote seller, a marketplace provider, a marketplace seller, or any combination of the three. There are different tax responsibilities for each type of seller.
When you say marketplace provider, what do you mean?
A marketplace provider is a person who owns or operates a marketplace and directly or indirectly processes sales or payments for marketplace sellers. To give you some examples, some of the larger marketplace providers include Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and Etsy.
Are all marketplace providers required to collect sales and use tax for their marketplace sellers?
Yes and no. A marketplace provider does not have to be permitted and start collecting and remitting tax until the marketplace provider exceeds the $500,000 safe harbor or is otherwise engaged in business in Texas, like having physical presence. Typically, most marketplace providers meet this qualification.
So how does this agreement between a marketplace provider and a marketplace seller work in Texas?
Not to sound too much like a lawyer, Texas law states that the marketplace provider will certify to the marketplace seller through some form of statement that they, the marketplace provider, will be collecting, reporting, and paying the tax to the state. No special form or language is required by marketplace providers to notify marketplace sellers that the provider is collecting and remitting tax for Texas. The notification can be part of the terms of use or any other agreement between the marketplace provider and seller, and does not need to be a separate document that the provider issues to all sellers. This documentation is proof for the marketplace seller of the agreement in place.
So with this agreement, does the marketplace seller have to have a Texas sales tax permit?
For their sales in Texas through the online marketplace provider, no. But the marketplace seller must keep records of all marketplace sales. Now, there are a couple of times a marketplace seller could need a sales tax permit, so let's go through a couple scenarios. If the marketplace seller makes sales on its own and is engaged in business in Texas, such as having an employee or store in Texas, then the marketplace seller will need a permit. If the marketplace seller is a remote seller with total Texas sales through its own website that exceed the $500,000 safe harbor, they will need a permit as well. But as I said before, this is only for Texas. Marketplace sellers need to check with the other states they're selling into for their tax responsibilities.
What revenue is included in calculating the safe harbor if a remote seller sells products on their own website and on the marketplace?
Only the revenue through their own website. A remote seller does not include any sales for which they have received and accepted, in good faith, certification that the marketplace provider will collect sales and use tax. For example, assume during a 12-month period, a remote seller makes $300,000 in total sales into Texas through its own website, and $600,000 in sales through multiple marketplace providers that certify they are collecting and remitting the tax. The remote seller has no employees, inventory, or warehouses in Texas. Based on these facts, the remote seller is covered by the safe harbor and is not required to collect and remit tax for Texas.
Thank you, Julio, for giving us this general overview on those recent changes. I know later we'll have you back and talk further about these changes.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to all our listeners for taking the time to listen to our podcast. Make sure to check back with us for more episodes on marketplace sellers, purchasers, and providers. If you need more information, make sure to check out our webpages, Texas Tax Responsibilities and Resources for Sellers After Wayfair, and our sales tax webpage for information on tax rates and sales tax applications available on our website, comptroller.texas.gov. Until next time, y'all have a great day.